You are Locked On Jets, your daily New York Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the Locked On Jets podcast on Thursday, September 5th, 2019. I'm your host, John B. from GangreneNation.com. On this opening day in the NFL, it's the first NFL game of 2019 tonight. Not the Jets. The Jets open on Sunday, but tonight is the first game of the 2019 regular season. It will be the Packers against the Bears tonight on NBC. And just as a reminder, the opening week of the NFL here on the Locked On Podcast Network is brought to you by Mack Weldon. Mack Weldon is a premium men's essentials brand that believes in smart design and premium fabrics. Mack Weldon is better than whatever you're wearing right now, and promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, gets you 20% off at MackWeldon.com, MackWeldon.com, promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off. We will get to our mailbag in a little bit, but we'll start by talking about the news of the day for the Jets on Wednesday. Jets news for Wednesday, the Jets announced six captains for the 2019 season. They are Sam Darnold, Kelvin Beachum, Jamal Adams, C.J. Mosley, Steve McClendon, and Rontez Miles. So Darnold and Beachum are the captains for the offensive side of the ball, Adams, Mosley, and McClendon for the defensive side of the ball, and Miles is your special teams captain. These were voted on by the players, so a little change from recent Jets history. You may remember that the previous two head coaches, Rex Ryan and Todd Bowles, for most of their Jets careers, rotated captains from week to week. Rex Ryan was always a big guy who was always a guy who was big on using the captain spot as motivation. So if somebody was playing their former team or they were playing the team they rooted for growing up, Rex Ryan would make them a captain. And Todd Bowles, similarly, for most of his Jets career as head coach, rotated captains from week to week, was not a big believer in captains. There were a few exceptions. In the 2011 season, of course, Rex Ryan named captains himself. Famously, of course, Santonio Holmes was one of his captains in the 2011 season, which was pretty ugly. And last year, Todd Bowles named captains as well. This is the first time the players have chosen the captains for the Jets in a while, which makes sense. The players are choosing their leaders for the team. So it's a mix of players here. You know, some old, some new. Miles, the special teams captain, one of the longest tenured members of the Jets, believe it or not, because his first Jets training camp was back in 2013, and he spent some time on the practice squad. But he's, if you take his Jets tenure in its entirety, he's one of the longest tenured members of the team. And of course, you have Steve McClendon, a guy who is known for leadership in the locker room. C.J. Mosley, a guy the Jets imported in Baltimore, and they've spoken about their belief in his leadership abilities. No shock there. But the two guys that really stick out to me are the two kind of centerpieces of the team going forward, Sam Darnold and Jamal Adams. And these are really the guys the Jets are looking to lead them into their next great era. And it's funny because you have one cornerstone player on offense, Sam Darnold, who, of course, is the quarterback, who, you know, on most teams, the quarterback typically is going to be a captain. And then on defense, on the defensive side of the ball, Jamal Adams, who, when he came out of LSU, it was amazing how many of his scouting, I've never seen a scouting report that was so focused on leadership, but that's what Adams is. Was Adams brings a lot of intangibles to the table. So Jets are hoping that these two guys are going to lead their young core to greatness in the going forward, and they've assumed the leadership mantle of the team right now. So those are your six captains for the Jets this year. First injury report came out for week one for the Jets. Some mixed news among the players who were limited at practice on Wednesday, Robbie Anderson and Trumaine Johnson. Adam Gase spoke earlier in the week and indicated that both guys were trending in the right direction. We'll probably get another update later in the week. Brian Winters, starting guard, also limited at practice. So we'll continue to monitor that situation as we get deeper into the week. Some other guys appearing on the injury report, but full practice fully are include Brandon Shell and Kelechi Osemele. So some good news on that front for the Jets. Seems like the offensive line is moving, and those guys at least are moving in the right direction. We'll monitor the Winters situation, but that's the early injury report for the Jets. And for the Buffalo Bills side, notable that Andre Roberts did not practice with a quad injury. Of course, we remember Roberts. He was a member of the Jets last year, who was a Pro Bowl return man, had a tremendous year for the Jets. Jets let him go. The Jets decided to trust their coaching staff to be able to replace him, as they did so many times back when Mike Westhoff was the special teams coach back in the Westhoff era. If you go back, the Jets constantly were losing quality return men, and they just kept plugging new guys in, and Westhoff kept making it work. Jets are kind of looking for that same degree of magic. They decided not to match Buffalo's offer for Roberts. Now Roberts, a member of the Buffalo Bills, you know, reports are that he's motivated to play against the Jets. Well, he missed practice on Wednesday, so we'll see. We'll monitor his situation going forward. And that's your news of the day for the Jets. Mack Weldon believes in smart design, premium fabrics, and simple shopping. Mack Weldon will be the most comfortable underwear, socks, shirts, undershirts, hoodies, sweatpants, and more that you will ever wear. They want you to be comfortable, so if you don't like your first pair of underwear, you can keep it and they will still refund you, no questions asked. For 20% off your first order, visit mackweldon.com, that's mackweldon.com, and enter promo code LOCKEDON. Again, that's 20% off your first order at mackweldon.com, promo code LOCKEDON. Let's jump to the mailbag now. Thanks to everybody who sent in your questions this week. We got a lot to get to as many of them as we can. First question, which Jets player or players do you think will surprise fans and be good this year? Which Jets player or players do you think will end up disappointing this year? So that's a good question. I'll give you a couple of guys I'm high on this year. I'm on the Robbie Anderson bandwagon this year. And, you know, there's a lot of buzz around him in training camp. Sometimes you just have to listen to what people are saying around the team, and it sounds like the coaching staff is really going to make him a focal point of this offense. You know, a year ago, a lot of people were talking about him. A lot of people were talking about how he was going to have this breakout year. And I was a little skeptical, and he ended up having kind of a disappointing year. But I think this year I'm buying on him. I'm buying on Robbie. I think he's going to have a really good year. It just sounds like they're really going to make him a focal point of this offense. And I'll tell you, I'd try and get him locked up now before the end of the year, because at the very least, you got a good deep threat. You have a capable starting receiver, and you have a good deep threat. And if you can get him locked up for like $11-12 million, that's about the going rate for a receiver like that. And you'll be thanking yourself if he ends up having the type of year I'm anticipating. I think he's going to have a good year. I'm buying on Robbie Anderson right now. I'm also buying on Leonard Williams. I think that he's due a big statistic. I think his numbers are going to go up. I think he's due a better statistical year. I wouldn't be surprised to see his sack totals go up quite a bit this year, playing next to Quinnen Williams. And I think he's been a little unlucky in the past. He probably should have more sacks relative to the pressures he's generating. So that's another guy I'm buying on. I think fans are sleeping on Chris Herndon a little bit, and we know Herndon's going to miss the first couple games this year due to suspension, but I've been a little surprised how little buzz there's been around Herndon. I mean, you look at his numbers his numbers were excellent for a rookie tight end last year, and it's a point I keep making. You know, look at the normal production of rookie tight ends, especially guys who go in round four. Usually not what you get out of Herndon last year. So that's another guy who I think is going to do well. In terms of who's going to disappoint a little bit, there are a couple guys on defense who I think their sack totals are going to go down. I would guess Henry Anderson and Jordan Jenkins. I would take the under on them repeating 7 sack seasons. Neither guy is really a natural pass rusher. There are more guys who just kind of try and push the pocket, and you know they show good hustle. You know they're energy guys. They've got good motors, and sometimes they end up in the right spot if somebody else pushes the quarterback into their laps. But I think that if you're looking for them to repeat their sack production from a year ago, I probably would take the under. So, you know, guys I'm buying this year, I think I'd say would be Anderson, Herndon, and Leonard Williams. Guys I'm probably not buying as high on, Jordan Jenkins and Henry Anderson. If you're looking for a third guy who I think, and this pains me to say it because he was on the show, and I love people who were on the show, but I don't know that Ty Montgomery is going to have the role. People are like really expecting Ty Montgomery to be a big part of the offense, and I'm not really sure where the opportunities are going to come from him, especially when Herndon gets back. So I think Montgomery is going to have a much smaller. I think he could be productive in it, but I don't think his role is going to be all that big, especially when Herndon gets back. So I think those are my early predictions, and you know how much I hate making predictions. So I know someone's going to bring these up at the end of the year if they're wrong. Next question. Do you think Blake Cashman takes over the starting role next to Mosley? And if so, how long do you think it takes for him to beat out Hewitt? Well, if he's not starting week one, then I'm not sure it's going to be a situation where he can win the starting job. I think there's a scenario where Hewitt plays himself out of the role. You know, if you get into a situation where other teams are consistently game planning against Hewitt, they're game planning to attack Hewitt. And I'll tell you, that third preseason game against the Saints, when the Saints' first team offense was in there, it felt like every play was going at Hewitt. It felt like they were making a conscious effort to game plan against him to really attack him and test him out. So I think he is going to be tested. I think once you get into the regular season, they're going to try and see what Hewitt has. They're going to see whether Hewitt can hold up against a barrage of attacks against him. So I think it very much depends on Hewitt. If he's starting week one, then that tells you the coaching staff thinks he's their best player at the position. And I always say with rookies, look, if they play well, I want to be pleasantly surprised. I never want to have high expectations for rookies because there's typically, for most players, a lot of growing pains when you enter the NFL. It's not easy to transition as a rookie into this league. So I would not want to expect much out of Cashman. I think if it gets to a point where Hewitt's being consistently tested and he's failing the test, you know, tight ends are picking him apart, he's being picked apart by tight ends and running backs, and maybe he's missing some tackles, maybe he's blowing his assignments in the run game, filling the wrong gaps. There's a scenario where he forces the Jets to take him out of the lineup and try something new. But I think it would probably, my guess is that it probably would take something like that. And listen, I like Blake Cashman. I've been talking Blake Cashman up for months. I think that was a pick that has some potential when we're talking as far as a day three pick goes. But I don't want to expect too much too soon from Blake Cashman. It's going to be really tough for, I mean, listen, it happens. It does happen where guys are able to step into the lineup as rookies as day three picks, but it's rare. And typically year one is a developmental year for guys picked in the part of the draft where Blake Cashman is picked. There are always exceptions, but I never want to count on one of my guys to be the exception to the rule. I want to be pleasantly surprised when one of my guys is the exception to the rule. So I think that's the best answer I can give. Is I don't know if Cashman can win this job if Hewitt's starting week one, but I think it would be a case where Hewitt has lost the job. Next question, how does the polite pick rank relative to Golston and Hackenberg? Well, in terms of resources lost, not as bad, because Golston, you lost a top 10 pick, and Hackenberg, you lost a second round pick. In this instance, you lost a third round pick, albeit an early third round pick. It's a bad pick, though. I mean, it's a bad pick. I'll say this. I'll also say this. In terms of the blown evaluation, I think of the three, just in terms of how did this happen, Hackenberg is the most baffling, because Golston and Polite were both good college players. You know, there's this revisionist history about Vernon Golston that he did nothing in college and he was just this total workout warrior, and he only got drafted because he had a good comp. That's not true at all. Golston was an excellent college player. He was the Big Ten Defensive Lineman of the Year in 2007. The year before the Jets drafted. First team All Big Ten 2007. Second team All Big Ten the year before. Had a big game against Jake Long when Ohio State played Michigan in 07. And he beat Jake Long for a sack. Jake Long, who went on to be the number one pick in the draft the next year, and short order was the best tackle in the NFL. Golston beat him for a sack in college. It wasn't a case where Golston had no talent. And I think you could say the same thing for Polite. Look, there's, you know, and I think now people are trying to say, like, well, he wasn't that good. Look, there's a reason Ja'Kai Polite, before his disastrous combine, his disastrous interview, there's a reason the guy was getting first-round buzz. 11 sacks, 17 and a half tackles for a loss. And people could say, well, they weren't against the best competition he faced that year. They were against some of the bad teams. Well, look, these were Division I players he was facing. This was a guy who had no idea really how to play yet. His technique was not that good. He wasn't watching film. And you look at that, and he still was able to record 11 sacks against Division I talent, which after you see that, the question becomes, okay, if this guy is so talented that he can do this without knowing how to play, imagine what he's going to be if you get him to start watching film, if you teach him technique. Imagine how good he's going to be. He could be an impact, you know, he could be a good pass rusher in this league. And I think the issue with Golston and Polite was the same thing. And, you know, if you go back to the year the Jets were on Hard Knocks, I mean, it kind of came out about Golston there. The guy just didn't have the passion to be great in football. You know, you cannot skate by on raw ability in the NFL. You can in college, but you cannot in the NFL. And I think the same thing with Polite. You know, if Polite was willing to come in immediately, work hard, you know, be receptive to coaching, start watching film, he could be a good player because he has the ability to do it. But in the NFL, in college, you can be an effective player just on ability. In the NFL, you need ability plus willingness to work. So, you know, but you know what? The Jets missed on those evaluations. It shouldn't happen, but it does happen. Should not happen, but it does happen. As far as Hackenberg goes, I mean, the guy's film was horrible. Like, the guy was a horrible college player, and the Jets picked him in the second round. It's one thing to, like, draft a guy who's good in college and you just misjudge his ability, his willingness to work in the NFL to be great. That's one thing. The Jets, I mean, Hackenberg, you could see it on the fans saw it. Fans were, when the Jets made that pick, there were a lot of fans who were like, what are you doing? This guy can't play. So in terms of what the most baffling evaluation was, that's Hackenberg. In terms of what the worst loss was, you know, in terms of what the biggest cost was, that's obviously Golston, because in that instance you lost a top 10 pick. But it's still I mean, these are still awful. there's not a good one. The fact Polite was an early third round pick, the Jets used an early third round pick on him, and he didn't even make the roster as a rookie, and no other team even wanted him. Which, you know, as I mentioned the other day, showed you that nobody had this guy even close to a third. Nobody else had this guy close to being a third round pick on their board. Because if any other team had this guy close to being a third round pick, and he was offered to them for free on waivers the other day, they would have taken him. So it just shows you the Jets put a way higher grade on this guy than anybody else in the league. So that's a bad miss. But that said, I don't think you can say it's as baffling as an evaluation as Hackenberg, or as big of a waste of a pick as Golston. And it's a very distressing thing. It says something very distressing about recent Jets draft history, that this, you can look at this and say this was not even the worst, or arguably the second worst pick the Jets have made in recent history. It is time to celebrate. Football is finally back, and DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy football, has huge Week 1 contests. The first one starts this Thursday night when Chicago and Green Bay kick off the season in a single-game showdown with $2.5 million in total prizes up for grabs. Draft your single-game showdown lineup and feel the sweat like never before. It's simple. Just draft 6 players from the season opener, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Plus, new users who sign up today on DraftKings using promo code LOCKEDON, that's one word, LOCKEDON, will receive a free shot at the $1 million top prize. Nothing adds to the sweat of watching the game quite like having a shot at the $1 million payday. So get in on the season opener action. Download the DraftKings app now and use code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, one word. For a limited time, both new and existing users can get a deposit bonus up to $500. And new users, don't miss this extra special Week 1 bonus. Enter my code LOCKEDON to get a free shot at $1 million with your first deposit. That's code LOCKEDON, only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Deposit bonus requires a 25-time playthrough. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. It is a new NFL season, and much has changed. Le'Veon Bell, of course, is on the Jets. Antonio Brown is on the Raiders. And Odell Beckham Jr. is in Cleveland. This year, MyBookie is hosting the first online handicapping super contest as well. First place is guaranteed to win at least $100,000, and it only costs $100 to enter. All you have to do is pick 5 NFL games against the spread every week to climb the leaderboard and score your share of the huge cash prize pool. There's also up to a $1,000 first deposit bonus. You can double your first deposit using promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. You can visit MyBookie, that's MyBookie, and you can use the promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, when creating your account to claim the bonus. Bet, win, get paid at MyBookie. Locked On Jets podcast here on this Mailbag Thursday. Next question asked for a Buffalo game prediction about blitzing. Josh Allen is an inexperienced and somewhat mistake-prone quarterback, but he has a long ball and can run. Does Williams dial up the blitz and force the kid to make more mistakes, or defend against the run and play zone or play a spy, letting the kid make his own mistakes? Well, yeah, if you play zone, you don't need to spy. You only need to spy if you play man-to-man, because when you're playing man-to-man, the danger is that everybody's covering a receiver, so the receivers run all the defenders out of the area, and you leave open field for the quarterback to run. Whereas if you play zone, you're going to have defenders who are in the zone in the lanes where Allen may run, so you don't really need to play a spy. I think if it was me, and we'll probably talk about this tomorrow on our official preview show, I would probably sit back. You know, there's the question here is that, and we discussed this with Joe Marino yesterday, is that this is not really going to be a precision offense for the Bills. This is not going to be a timing offense. This is going to be an offense based on the Bills trying to get the work the ball down the field, longer developing plays. So the question becomes, you know, do you blitz? Because if you blitz, sometimes you force the quarterback to get the ball out quickly, maybe quicker than Allen wants. But there's danger there because blitzing means that you leave less guys in the back of the defense. You know, you leave a lot of one-on-ones out there where the Jets' corners may struggle to cover one-on-one. And Allen does have running ability, so he can, you know, if he eludes pressure, you could be in a lot of trouble because you could be in some problematic one-on-ones if he eludes the blitz. And I'd be afraid of that. If I was the Jets, I'd probably play a little more conservatively. I'd probably try and mix some coverages, try and confuse him in the back of the defense, maybe move some guys around to the back of the defense, give him different looks, and try and force mistakes that way, and hope that Quinnen Williams, Leonard Williams, the rest of those guys get home. I think Greg Williams probably will do the opposite. I think Greg Williams is the guy who loves to attack. If it was me, though, I'd probably like to see the Jets sit back a little bit more. We'll see what happens Sunday, though. We'll see how adaptable Greg Williams is through the season and, you know, starting on Sunday. Next question. If a player is on the practice squad and another team wants him, I know they can take him as long as they put him on their 53-man roster, but how long does he have to be there? Can the Jets keep the player in response, call him up to the 53 in response? Well, you know, the NFL sometimes changes these rules at the last minute. I remember a couple of years ago, like, they changed the practice squad rules right before the season. So all I can do is tell you what my understanding of what the rules were a year ago is. I think in terms of the practice squad, these players are essentially free agents because they can sign with any team's 53-man roster. So the Jets can sign a player to their active roster if they're worried he's going to be signed by another team. There's nothing to prevent the Jets from doing that if they wanted to. Of course, the Jets would have to then cut somebody else. So, I mean, yeah, if the Jets really want to keep somebody, well, if they really want to keep somebody, he probably should be on the 53-man roster anyway, because it's not like the 53rd man on your team typically does a whole lot. But, yeah, if the Jets want to keep somebody on the practice squad and they're worried he's going to be signed by somebody, the Jets absolutely can sign him. But essentially, these players are free agents, so if another team beats the Jets to the punch, I'm not sure there's anything the Jets could do. And I don't think my understanding is that the team would not need to keep the player for any stretch of time, but the player would be – and this is going off last year's rules, and look, the NFL could change it at the last minute again like they did a couple of years ago. But my understanding is that if you sign a player from the practice squad, you have to pay him for 3 weeks. Even if you cut him the next day, he gets three paychecks per game. That's my understanding. Again, these rules get very much in the weeds, so it's difficult to say. So I hope I got that right, and I hope the league did not change it. But that's my understanding of the situation. Yeah, and like I said, if you really like a guy that much on your team, well, he probably should be on the active roster, because not like the guys who are number 52 and number 53 on your roster are going to be that valuable. And our last question, Tim Tebow, better Jet or better Met? Are you trying to hurt the Mets fans? Better Jet or better Met? Probably about equally as effective for the two teams. I think that's how I'll put that. That's our show for today. Thanks for listening. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, if you like the show, subscribe, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify. And we thank you kindly if you leave it a good review. Have a great Thursday, everybody, and we'll be back tomorrow to close out the week.